Our next paper has two presenters, David Isaacs. David is a senior consultant with the Quantium Group, managing Quantium's Brisbane office. He has been with Quantium for 5 years and prior to that spent 5 years at Trowbridge Deloitte. David graduated with a Bachelor of Science degree with first class honours in pure maths from the Australian National University, and he's a fellow of the Institute of Actuaries of Australia. David has extensive experience in short tail pricing for both personal and commercial lines and has presented several papers to past Institute of Actuaries General Insurance seminars and Horizons seminars. Chris Hope, the co-writer. Chris is currently an actuarial analyst at Suncorp, working in the pricing team for the home portfolio. He has been at Suncorp for a year and a half after moving to Australia from the UK. He started his actuarial career at Hewitt in 2005 and will be commencing part three in January. I was teasing Chris earlier today about the standard actuarial exam question, which begins with "a student suggested." I'm hoping that that's not what he's going to be doing today. Thanks.
No, every now and then you get you do get your analysts who are well and truly more than capable, and Chris certainly falls into that category. So today, Chris and I are going to discuss the application of data mining techniques, in particular, classification trees to monitoring of short-tail portfolios. These techniques, I guess, whilst they're certainly accepted within the industry, they're probably not, at this stage, what you'd call widely utilised within the industry. And I guess where they have been used for a number of years, it's been typically on a variety of ad hoc little standalone projects. I guess, but we're starting to see the emergence of these techniques, I guess, to supplement some of the existing monitoring processes. More importantly, in certain circumstances, these actually offer the opportunity to be incorporated in an easily automated way into part of the standard monitoring processes themselves. I guess we wouldn't necessarily say that these techniques in their application should be usurping the current monitoring processes that most insurers adopt. I guess far from it. In fact, what we tend to see is that these techniques can allow us to easily identify some problem segments or opportunities that perhaps the existing monitoring techniques and existing monitoring approaches fail to recognise, or at least fail to recognise in a way that may be efficient and cost-effective for the insurer. It isn't actually intended to be a technical discussion on the merits of the different data mining techniques, but rather identify a few opportunities to enable and assist in part of the pricing control cycle. And in fact, in many ways, actually expands on a few ideas actually presented by Charlie a couple of years back at the GI seminar in Canberra. Today's presentation, we're going to start out by touching on what we mean by the standard approach to monitoring, and I guess talk a little bit about how that is actually applied in the industry. I'm going to then look at a few ways that this can be enhanced through the use of classification trees, and we'll touch on some of the strengths and the weaknesses of these approaches, particularly in the context of monitoring. I'll then actually pass over to Chris, who's going to talk through a brief case example, and we'll finish by the discussion by, I guess, listing a few of the more, what I'd refer to as ad hoc applications that we've come across that still fit within the context of monitoring. And then we'll conclude on the topic. So monitoring is actually a very important part of the pricing control cycle and receives a significant amount of attention within most insurers. Each insurer typically does monitoring in their own way, but broadly the approach is relatively consistent. And I guess it typically follows the idea that every period, whether that's weekly, monthly, quarterly, there's a regular extract taken from a data warehouse or central repository. We go about calculating a bunch of key metrics, and we present it as some form of data cube, or at least summaries of that data cubing process. We usually present that in some way over time, so we can see trends emerging, and most monitoring tools allow for the ability to drill down to segments to understand actually what it is that's driving the differences, you know, in what we're seeing. Typically, you drill down by rating factor or other key metrics. These sorts of monitoring tools are usually well accepted within the business, and key metrics are actually form what typically is reported to senior management. But as well as being used in the business, it's often also a useful check as part of the pricing control cycle. And usually, in most cases, it actually does a very good job of identifying problem segments, but that those problems and opportunities are usually identified either by eye or through some form of automated exception reporting. And the problem with that is that it may lead to some of the shortcomings that are common in any form of N-way analysis. Now, we're not suggesting this process is done poorly, but by extending the process and extending what you're actually doing and covering off in your monitoring, you can actually pick up on a few of the problem segments perhaps earlier and more efficiently than what you could otherwise. One of the good ways to do that is by using classification trees. It can be a great way of quickly understanding where you're seeing changes in your portfolio. For each of your relevant key metrics that you're using, you can set up a process to identify what's actually driving the changes in those metrics. So realistically, you probably wouldn't want to do that for every single metric that you monitor as part of your standard reporting, but perhaps for a number of the key ones. So I guess as a suitable example, if we think about new business being written and we want to understand what's actually emerging as driving changes in that mix, the process we would adopt would be to take an extract of our relevant data for the current period, so your current monitoring period and a prior period or last couple of prior periods. So in this case, a snapshot of your new business policies written in the current period and written in the prior couple of periods. You'd flag those observations that relate to the current period only, and then you'd run a classification tree to identify differences. And what that's going to do is it's actually going to split our selection of new business policies, identifying differences in the mix between our current new business and what was written in the previous periods. And hence, it's what it's going to tell us is where our portfolio is being skewed towards and skewed away from relative to what we were writing prior. It doesn't tell us the answer for exactly what's happening to our portfolio, but it enables us to identify a few key segments where we might want to drill down a bit further and perhaps, you know, dig into why certain things are happening. Of course, there's pros and cons in applying any sort of additional analysis. First, the advantage is we can actually find problem segments and, I guess, as well as problem segments opportunities that can potentially be difficult to isolate using your N-way summaries. The analogous issue is that if you're trying to fit a very complex interaction, which essentially these trees can enable you to calculate or to find, you've got to know exactly the right interaction to be looking for to be able to identify it in your N-way summaries. One of the other things that flows on from that is that this actual approach doesn't actually require any prior expectation as to what you're actually looking for. So if you know that you've just put in a rating change to your age curve, you can, if you're just looking at your typical summaries, you're probably going to drill down and try and understand, well, what's happening to my age curve? Am I seeing changes in the areas that I think I should be? Now, that's all well and good, but if you're implementing that change, you've also you've also made some unexpected other changes. You're not going to necessarily find that by drilling down with a prior expectation that all that's changed is my age curve. The process can be quick. Now, that's particularly the case if it's automated as part of your regular monitoring. And in some cases, but certainly not all, it can be easier to explain why you're seeing the results you're observed. But on the flip side, I guess you don't want analysis just for the sake of analysis, and there's potential that this approach can lead to that if not done properly. A couple of the issues with I guess running trees for any process is they tend to be data hungry and can potentially lead to unstable results. That's just a there are ways to try and get around that in terms of how you choose some of your fitting algorithms, but I'm not planning on going into that in too much detail today. And one of the other issues with this is it actually isn't great at identifying slow-moving changes. So if your portfolio is slowly drifting from younger drivers to older drivers, it might not necessarily be able to quickly identify those issues. What it's more useful for is actually identifying step changes that tend to occur as a result of a change in process, whether that's a change in your pricing process, underwriting process, or claims management process, usually, but it can also be changes in, you know, how competitors have behaved as well. I guess the other issue is that it does actually require some degree of interpretation. There's no perfect solution that just cranks a handle and spits out an answer and allows you to feed it straight back into your pricing and everything will be fine. But nevertheless, for the purposes of monitoring, what it can do is that it can quickly allow you to identify a handful of segments that where you're potentially looking for your quick wins. You know, there's a potential to spend a long time developing, you know, the best possible tree, but for the purposes of monitoring, you don't necessarily want to do that. You just want to find out what segments are the ones that need the most attention right now. Okay, so at this stage, I'm going to hand over to Chris, who's going to briefly talk through a case example.
Thanks, David. So the case example that I'm going to talk through is based on the home insurance portfolio, and it specifically uses combined buildings and contents policies. Now, the data we've used for this, it's real data, but then we've made certain changes just to protect commercial information. What we'd basically done, the underlying reason for this case study, is that we'd had a minor rate review and there were some premium changes as a result of this. And we wanted to see whether these changes in premiums had made a difference to the mix of business that we were writing. So 3 weeks after the change, we took a data extract for those 3 weeks and also for the month preceding the change. We used that as a data set and inputted that into CART. Now, CART, for those of you who don't know, is Classification and Regression Tree. That's what it stands for. So we've used CART to model this data set. Now, as a bit of background to the rate change that we had implemented, the only rate change we'd made in Queensland was to put through a fairly substantial base rate increase. Outside of Queensland, we made two additional changes. We'd put through a price increase for customers aged between 41 and 54, and this was then offset by a corresponding decrease for those aged less than 40 or over 55. And the other change we'd made was to put through a small base rate increase for South Australia, Western Australia, and the Northern Territory. So what you can see here is a sample output of what CART produces. Now, this is a decision tree. The way it works is that each point in the data comes in at the top. If the statement in the box is true, it passes to the left. If the statement in the box is false, it passes to the right, and it cascades down the tree until you reach one of the terminal nodes at the bottom there, one of the five blue boxes. Now, the percentage numbers that you can see in the box are the relative change in the mix of business for that segment compared to before the rate change happened. So what you can see is the first split that we're getting is on whether or not the state is Queensland. Now, what this means is that the state being Queensland is the biggest distinction between whether the business was written before or after the change we made. And what you can see is that we're getting a skew in mix of business away from policies in Queensland. Now, this is a result that we'd expected to happen. We'd put base rates up in Queensland, and so we'd expect to write less business there. The next result I'm going to show you is not a result we'd expected, though. What we can see here is there's been a fairly substantial increase in the mix of business for houses made of mud brick or sandstone. Now, as I say, this wasn't something we were expecting to see, and when we looked into it a bit more, what we found is that the data we'd used to set the prices for this segment was actually incomplete, and mud brick and sandstone houses were not being charged enough. Realising this just 3 weeks after the change had been made meant we could respond to that quickly, we could correct the prices, and the problem wasn't too serious. If we'd waited for that situation to be found in the standard monitoring process using the N-way tables, it probably would have taken much longer to realise that. Now, outside of Queensland, the next split you can see there is on the age of insured of the customer. And what we see is that there's a relative shift in mix of business away from those customers aged between 40 and 55. Now again, this result is something we expected to see as we'd put rates up for those customers. The final split, down at the bottom right here, is another geographical split, and it shows a skew in mix of business away from South Australia and Western Australia. And again, we expected to see a result like this because of the increase in base rates in those regions. However, we also put through a base rate increase in the Northern Territory. But what this is showing us is that the Northern Territory is actually seeing more business as a result of this change. Now, this is obviously quite unusual, and you know, we looked into this a bit more. What we found is that at the same time as we'd put through our increase, our competitors had actually put through a more significant increase in the Northern Territory, and so our policies ended up being more competitive after the change than they had been before the change. And this segment is another one that we wouldn't have found using the standard monitoring, and it was only through using this tree technique that we discovered this at this stage. The other interesting thing about this final split is that it's not present for those customers aged less than 40 or over 55. It's only there for the age band 40 to 55. Now, what this means is that for those customers in New South Wales or Victoria who are less than 40 or over 55, they're receiving a price decrease due to their age, but they're not seeing any further increase in mix of business over that which those in South Australia and Western Australia are getting. So what that's showing is that perhaps base rates could be increased for those customers without seeing any detriment to the mix of business that we were getting. So that is, in effect, extra margin that could be gained for nothing. And realising that at this stage meant the change could be made and that extra margin could be taken up quickly following the change. So to summarise what we can take from this case study, I guess the key advantage of using this sort of tree technique is the early identification that it gives you of what's going on. Now, whether this be identification of problems with the portfolio or whether this be early identification of the changes that you were expecting to happen, which can then be reported back to management or, you know, given as justification for the changes that were made, either way, this early identification is a good thing. The other benefit of this technique is that it can identify segments which wouldn't otherwise have been picked up using the standard N-way monitoring. And the mud brick and sandstone houses are a good example of this. That segment is small enough that it probably wouldn't have been noticed just by eye, or maybe it would have taken longer to become noticed. But using this, we were able to find that significant area quite quickly. Another key benefit here is that the generation of the trees that we've seen and the underlying data sets for that tree can be automated fairly easily into the standard weekly or monthly or quarterly monitoring process. And so all that needs to be done then is the analysis can be performed on that tree and results can then be fed back into the pricing system efficiently and quickly. So I'll pass back over to David now to talk about some more applications of this technique.
Thanks, Chris. We've discussed a straightforward technique here to incorporate into the standard monitoring, but now we're just going to touch on a couple of other applications that we're aware of actually being used in the marketplace, certainly in the monitoring space. I guess I'd, as I mentioned earlier, describe some of these more as that fit into the ad hoc category, but they're probably worth raising nevertheless. So first one is testing rate book structures prior to implementation. So this is a slight variation on the theme that Chris raised with the sandstone and mud brick case, where perhaps instead of being built on incomplete data, if we've actually entered the incorrect rating structure into our system, what we can do is we can actually set up a flag in our, our test environment, where we score all of our test policies with their particular premium. We put against that the premium that we're expecting, given the rating structure we're about to implement, and put a flag against any policies where the scored premium doesn't match the expected premium, and then very quickly run it through a classification tree, and we can very quickly find the areas where our algorithm isn't doing what we expect it to do. The next one is actually testing premium changes. Now, that's along the lines of I guess, the case example, but takes it a little bit further and looks at, what's actually happening to the premiums rather than just the count of your mix of business. Now, that can actually be useful in its own right, even if your mix of business looks like it's being relatively stable, particularly if you're undertaking some form of price testing or price flexing, where you've potentially got similar looking customers being given different prices. So the potential exists for you to be under collecting on premium if you're getting a lot more of the ones who are getting price reductions and fewer of the ones getting price increases, even if overall your mix of business looks to be relatively stable. And there's a couple of applications for looking at the impact of changing your rating process. First of these, I guess, would be to identify to what extent changing the rating factors actually influences your mix. So obviously, if you introduce a new rating factor, or you add a new level to the security questions that you're asking, that obviously impacts that particular rating factor. But does it actually impact the mix of business you're getting through based on the other rating factors that you have? That's one way you can test it. But there's another opportunity which I'm aware of, which is, does changing the order in the questions that you ask actually make a difference to the outcome that you get? So, there's a standard set of questions you can ask. If you ask them in one particular order, do you get different responses leading to higher premiums or perhaps different strike rates than if you ask them in a different order? Other particular opportunities are around understanding channel usage, so which of your customers are taking out your policies online and which are coming through phone and which are going through broker, enables you to, I guess, structure your products more appropriately to serve those particular customers. Are you getting different characteristics, such as price chasers using one channel versus the other, and so on? You can actually use it to also test your rating algorithms to understand, are there any speed efficiencies in actually delivering the price back to the customer by scoring one part of the algorithm before you score another part? Another opportunity is around perhaps identifying shadow shop quotes. So if you see your spikes in your quote volumes and no corresponding spikes in your sales, you can profile the quotes from different periods to strip out your shadow shop quotes and enable usable strike rate analysis. And you can perhaps also identify differences in price elasticities between different customer segments. And that's something I know that the guys are most likely to touch on a bit later on. So in conclusion, we think that there is an opportunity to include these data mining techniques in the regular monitoring framework. We think it's an area that has remained somewhat underutilised by actuaries in general insurance, but it is still getting... getting some wider traction. And these approaches can actually enhance what we currently do in the monitoring framework and perhaps other areas outside of monitoring as well. Okay, are there any questions?
We don't have any written questions. Anybody in the floor want to ask a question? No. Does that mean everybody understood it or nobody understood it? Oh, there we go. We've got a question.
As long as there's only Queenslanders presenting, I'm one of the last ones. Well, Chris, that was very interesting to see how Suncorp has done a particular exercise. One of the things you mentioned was that it was quite quick. I've seen such exercises take long times. Can you give us an idea of the time scale? You mentioned that you had 4 weeks of pre-change data and 3 weeks of post-change data. Was the report on someone's desk on the Monday of week four or somewhat later?
I think once you understand the techniques behind it, it can be quicker. I think when we did this, it was the first time I'd done it, so I was, you know, I was learning about the techniques as well as implementing them. I would imagine that if you had this sort of process set up already, the tree preparation itself could be done sort of automatically, and the interpretation would probably only need to take a couple of days before that was before that aspect of it was ready.
I guess there were sort of two aspects to my question. One was that particular exercise and the development of it, and I obviously know a fair bit about your team's knowledge of CART and such things, so I would expect it to be reasonably quick. And the second part of the question is the automation sufficiently? I think you essentially answered that by saying, well, the automation is just how much grunt your computers have, and if it takes 2 days, then it takes 2 days. And then you've got a day or two to look at it.
The automation itself would be quick. It's the sort of, I guess, deciding where you want to stop the tree. That takes a bit of thought, and then just basically analysing it to see what is actually telling you. That takes the time rather than the automation itself, I think.
Charlie, you wanted to say something?
It would be proportional to the number of unexpected things you found. So the more that you find that's a bit odd, the more investigation you have to do. But if it all meets your expectations, it could be quite quick.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's an extent to which you're looking at... You're not just looking at running a process and saying, right, there's five interesting segments here. It's then a question of which ones of those five interesting segments that I've found, which ones is it worth my while to dig a little bit deeper on, and how much further will I dig? So, I mean, it's like saying how long does your standard monitoring process take? You know, where you find that everything's tracking along merrily, then it's a very quick process. Where you find that, well, you know, suddenly a heap of things have gone wrong, then it's going to take longer to investigate. I mean, we've shown an example where there were things that popped up that were unexpected. If you don't get a split, if you don't identify any splits because your portfolio hasn't changed or your mix hasn't changed, well, then you haven't got anything to investigate.
Just a quick one. CART's a pretty handy tool, but, I mean, some of this stuff you could do pretty similar and get similar outcomes with, say, stepwise regression. I mean, have you considered that?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the one thing that you don't want to do is to turn your monitoring exercise into a full-blown modelling exercise. Something that automates your process, that automates a lot of that analysis is good. I mean, your stepwise regression can do that as well because, you know, you just click it, let it go, and it gives you an answer. But, yeah, what you don't want to do is turn your monitoring into a full-blown modelling of your pricing.
I've got a question. How did you determine where to stop the tree?
Yeah. And that's always an issue whenever you undertake some form of data mining. You know, at what point do you tell your analysis that's it? Look, there's a whole range of tests that you can undertake to help, and different ways you can actually fit your models to help you limit, you know, basically the spuriousness of some of those splits. But at the end of the day, what we're looking for from a monitoring perspective is segments that are sizable enough and credible enough that they warrant further investigation. So in this case, you'd be looking to limit your tree probably at a point that is higher than what you would for other purposes, simply because you're not trying to dig down to every single nuance in your data set. You just want to find those quick wins. I mean, it's subjective, but for the purposes of monitoring, you want to make it simple. You don't want to be chasing down every little fairy.
Yeah, this question sort of follows on a little bit from that. I'm just wondering what sort of volume of sales you were using in that tree over that 3-week period, and then following on from that, whether you feel the approach could be applied just as easily to some of the smaller insurers that might only have volumes of a few thousand sales per month, in terms of getting quick outcomes as well.
Yeah. Can you remember the size of the data set off the top of your head?
No, I don't remember the numbers exactly.
It was of the order of several thousand sales. Can't remember what number several corresponds to off the top of my head. I would say that this is a technique that is going to be most easily utilised by companies with larger amounts of data. But nevertheless, it is the sort of thing that you can, that if you've got as your process, you know, even if you end up with a tree that's more limited than what you might be able to find if you had twice as much data, you still might find segments that stand out there, like, you know, that are seriously serious problems or serious opportunities. But yeah, obviously, the more data you have, the better the outcome you're going to be in terms of the detail of the segments that you're finding. But you know, the whole purpose of monitoring is to find those quick wins. And so, if you do have small data sets, you're potentially going to be finding those big ticket items, but you know, maybe not the likes of that sandstone mud brick example.
In that example you gave there, you looked at the profile of business written in one period versus business written in another period. Did you consider, or have you looked at, the business that you lost in one period versus the business that you lost in the prior period? So basically the lost quotes, to see whether you see basically a complementary set of results as opposed to just a mix of opportunities emerging. I guess that might be another way of giving you extra data to make some interpretations.
What we did do is we looked at the mix of business being written and also the mix of quotes. So I guess specifically we didn't do that analysis, but some of it can be interpreted from, you know, seeing a different mix of quotes relative to the business written.
I wasn't sure about the suggestion made a few moments ago about stepwise regression substituting for this. I think the use of trees may have distinct advantages over stepwise regression, and the two are in fact not equal. The reason I say that is that CART and such like are all about seeking out interactions in the data set, whereas regression, even stepwise regression, is not well adapted to finding them. The sort of thing that stepwise regression would find would be the main effects, and they would be picked up in, usually, depending on what monitoring system you're using, they would usually be picked up in standard N-way monitoring. As I understand it, the use of trees is attempting to look beyond that.
No, that's a fair point.